District Sentinel Radio here. This is that nightly newscast featuring reporting from the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
A bearded Sam Knight. We're broadcasting out of the Sentinel Fort in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com.
It's a small miracle that we have a show at all today. We've been very busy, unexpectedly.
Yeah, we were demoted by ourselves.
Yeah.
It was necessary following some blowback after Sam made a comment about a gentleman's beard on Twitter.
Yeah, this guy, Jared Beck is his name. He is involved in the DNC fraud lawsuit or something.
I don't even know if he's involved in it. He's just promoting it.
I don't even really know. But the point is he made a comment about Seth Rich. This was in relation to a story we'll talk about later, which was the Ben C. Jacobs body slamming. That is a whole multi-layer itself. Just kidding. Ben is bad, but the body slamming was also bad.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later. So anyway, Jared makes a comment about Seth Rich, which I find pretty fucking deplorable, to paraphrase Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And so I basically said that I called him a bitch and said he looks like an emaciated Jimmy Kimmel with magnets in his cheeks and iron ore on his face because he has a really bad beard.
Yeah.
Terrible beard.
Yeah, and rather than just, you know, taking that and moving on because it's Twitter and you get owned on Twitter sometimes.
Or rather than making fun of my beard.
Yeah, exactly, or following up beard. Jared proceeded to seek out any contact that Sam and I have or mentioned on Twitter from Truth Out to Glenn Greenwald and decided to start complaining and claim that he's being threatened.
To be fair to Jared, I think the only reason he did is because you jumped in and you were like,
yeah, that's true.
You should complain to
his employers.
That's true.
I forgot I did that. But yeah, I did do that because I can never get enough of the prospect of people complaining to the District Sentinel about your behavior on Twitter. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Amazing.
Anyways.
So we consulted the HR department ourselves, yeah. And we decided to demote ourselves.
Yeah, and there's a happy ending to all this, and that's that Jared's wife chimed in to defend his beard and basically promised him a blowjob because he was trolled by Sam Knight. So Jared, you should be thanking us.
You're welcome, Jared.
You're welcome. We're broadcasting out of the Sentinel Fort in Washington, D.C. Check out our website, districtsentinel.com. Actually, we don't even do anything on the website or this podcast. All we do is troll online now. So let's get to the news. It's Thursday, May 25th, 2017. Here's what happened.
Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the ban on Trump's revised Muslim ban.
I'm winning so much it hurts.
The March order targeted people from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen, forbidding them from entering the country for 3 months, banning all refugees from those countries for 4 months. The court said the ban was discriminatory and cited Trump's own big fucking mouth on the campaign trail. Reading now from the ruling, quote, then-candidate Trump's campaign statements reveal that on numerous occasions he expressed anti-Muslim sentiment as well as his intent, if elected, to ban Muslims from the United States. Owned. This is a slightly developed, just breaking story, but the legal process is slow. We'll definitely keep you posted on how this meanders through the court system.
It's probably going to end up at the Supreme Court eventually.
And the Supreme Court's probably going to shoot it down, but it's so fucking hacky and partisan.
Yeah.
Who knows?
The political world is watching a special election for a congressional seat in Montana to see if the guy who just chokeslammed a reporter is going to win. Republican Greg Gianforte was charged with misdemeanor assault after he body slammed or chokeslammed. I think he chokeslammed him based on the Fox report of what happened. Guardian reporter Ben Jacobs Wednesday night. Jacobs walked up to Gianforte right before he was about to do an interview with a local Fox affiliate and asked the candidate his thoughts on the CBO score of Trump care. Here's audio of what happened.
Oh, look out! Oh, here we go! Oh, no!
Actually, that's Kane chokeslamming someone in the WWF. But for real, here's audio of what happened.
and what you thought.
We'll talk
him.
To you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you
okay,
have the
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you don't.
Sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hell out of here, I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
You gotta leave.
Actually, sorry, that was also from WWE. Let me play the actual... No, that was the actual clip.
Wow, zero from fucking batshit.
Yeah, you're going to have to talk to Shane.
Right? Shane, intervene, Shane, step in. Jesus, yeah. Fuck.
He basically lost his shit. Meltdown May continues. The tape clearly shows that. Despite that, though, his campaign released a statement suggesting that Jacobs, the reporter, was the aggressor in the situation.
I found the real assailant.
Yeah, nobody really believes the statement, though. Three of Montana's largest newspapers who all endorsed Gianforte now rescinded those endorsements. The dude could still win, though, tonight. I mean, I don't know. I expect we'll be hearing a lot more about Gianforte on tomorrow's show on Friday's Sentinel Cast, particularly during the garbage can segment.
It's funny that you mentioned the garbage can segment because Ben C. Jacobs is someone who himself... could have been a garbage contender in a past life.
Yeah.
He has said some really shitty stuff in the past. Not a big fan of his, but gotta say, Team Ben on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Felix Biederman, a.k.a. By Your Logic, he wrote a really good piece on this whole incident, by the way, for the Washington Post, made his Washington Post debut. Proud of our sweet boy, Felix. It was basically pointing out that all these right-wing dipshits who were making fun of Ben Jacobs, they basically would have done the same thing as Ben, which is they would have taken it and been really shaken up.
Congratulations, Felix, on getting a piece you wrote in the Washington Post. Let me know when one of your tweets gets published in the Post like mine, bitch.
Shit. Sounds like you're going to get chokeslammed next.
Yeah, I am.
Congress took a step toward threatening the Iran nuclear deal today. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee advanced a bill that would slap additional penalties on Iran for a number of reasons. Seemingly causing deal advocates the most concern are the parts of the legislation that would sanction companies involved in Iran's ballistic missile program. Not its nuclear program, just its ballistic missile program. The National Iranian American Council said that the deal prohibits, quote, the reimposition of sanctions lifted under the nuclear accord, and that the bill advanced Thursday will penalize Iranian banks with a hand in building ballistic missiles, which, again, aren't necessarily used to deliver nuclear warheads. Another person who decried the legislation was none other than former Secretary of State John Kerry. Kerry fired up a tweet storm yesterday.
Megathread, please retweet.
Exactly. The former Secretary of State made a number of points. He implored the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to consider, quote, the implications of confrontation without conversation. Kerry also warned against acting unilaterally and noted that moderate Hassan Rouhani was just reelected last weekend, saying, quote, this is not the moment for a new Iran bill. And I got to note this. Kerry also apologized for his tweet storm, saying the following, cut me some slack on threading. To paraphrase Yoda, tweet this well when 73 you are, I doubt.
He should have just tweeted in the John Kerry voice.
Yeah, he should have.
Whom among us does not enjoy threaded tweets?
Whom among us does not revel in a citation from popular culture? I got to say this as well. Despite Kerry's pleas, only two Democrats on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted against this bill. And that was Senator Jeff Merkley and Senator Tom Udall from New Mexico. And they were joined by Senator Rand Paul, who is fighting for liberty, as always. Sorry, that was a little sarcastic. Rand did a good job by voting against that shitty bill.
Staying on Capitol Hill, Trump's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, was there on Thursday defending the blueprint the White House released this week, that budget blueprint. He appeared before the Senate Budget Committee, which means he got to face off against Senator Bernie Sanders.
But I want you to tell the American people why you think it is a good idea to give $3 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1% at a time when the rich are becoming much richer, while at the same time you're going to throw 17 million children in this country off of health insurance because of the unconscionable cuts that you are making to Medicaid? Why are you going to throw seniors in the state of Wyoming or the state of Vermont off the Meals on Wheels program, maybe the one nutritious program that they get a day? Why are you going to throw women and low-income babies off of the WIC program at a time when infant mortality rates in this country was already high? Do you really think it is a great idea to tell a low-income pregnant woman that you're going to take away the WIC program, take away nutrition programs from children in order to give a massive tax break of $52 billion to the Walton family? Please explain your logic to the American people.
Mulvaney did his best to defend the indefensible. Trillions of dollars in cuts to health care programs for the poor and elderly, food assistance, college loans, environmental regulations, diplomatic missions, just to name a few, all to pay for a bigger military, tax cuts, and Trump's stupid wall. The budget also calls for slashing 200,000 housing vouchers that allow low-income Americans to afford rent, a critical program that helps cities combat homelessness, particularly after the housing market crashed. Now, here's a clip of Mick Mulvaney at his most uppity prick levels when asked by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley about how this might affect people in the Pacific Northwest.
Why make it worse? Why make a housing emergency worse?
Senator, I'll be honest with you. I've handled a lot of questions over the last 2 days, and I do not have the information about the housing voucher program at my fingertips, and I apologize.
Thank you. I'll follow up with you because I do have it at my fingertips, and it makes a housing crisis in Oregon, which has one of the worst crises in America, because a lot of people have heard what a wonderful place Oregon is, and it is.
I would suggest to you that your housing crisis in Oregon is driven mostly by your land use policies and not by anything dealing with federal regulation.
I would suggest to you know very little about housing in Oregon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, for completely beating me down there.
God damn. Marked!
Yeah, that was pretty vicious owning by Senator Merkley there. One of the more vicious ones I've heard all day, including your vicious takedown of our sweet boy Jared.
Hey, yeah, that wasn't on C-SPAN when I shat on Jared.
No. Anyway, Mulvaney is perhaps one of the most powerful people in this administration. Trump has put a lot of trust in him. He's basically Trump's numbers guy, and he's just as dangerous as any of the other lunatics running around the West Wing right now.
Yeah, you'll recall that Bernie Sanders brought this up in Mulvaney's confirmation hearing. Mulvaney once said that Social Security was unconstitutional, which it's not. He walked that back. Nancy Pelosi gave her weekly press conference today. And while many are insisting that President Trump is not normal, the leader of the House Dems is still clinging to a norm or two. Pelosi was asked about Trump's first trip abroad. Here's what she had to say discussing her own recent travels overseas.
Do I think it's a successful trip? Here's the thing. I was in five countries, whatever, during the break. And during that time, if anybody said anything to me, not the heads of state, because they understand that, respectful of our head of state, and so we don't engage in any conversations of that kind with them. But any members of civil society or any people that we had met with outside of the officialdom of those countries, and they would bring up President Trump and their criticism. I said, you know what? That's not why we're here. We don't criticize our president when we go abroad.
Must not criticize the president while you're abroad. Mustn't. My norms.
He's a lunatic who's dragging the country even deeper into the mud.
And those norms were really followed during the Obama administration.
Right, right. Heaven forfend an opposition leader criticized the man. I mean, come on. Would it really be that terrible if civil society abroad heard harsh words about an awful president who's doing irreparable damage to the entire fucking world? Well, now that the House Minority Leader is back in the U.S., maybe she won't bite her tongue. I mean, she's no longer overseas, right? Is it time to give the president the what for? Maybe not. Take a listen.
Same thing. While he's there, we'll have some things to say about his visit. I have said I thought it was unusual for the president of the United States to go to Saudi Arabia first. Saudi Arabia? It wasn't even alphabetical. I mean, Saudi Arabia.
Geez, don't hurt him, Nancy. No substantive criticism, just commentary on the timing of the visit to Saudi Arabia. Joke about alphabetical order. I mean, I guess to her credit, it might have been hypocritical had Pelosi hit out at Trump for selling the Saudis heavy weaponry to slaughter Yemenis, considering how President Obama himself supported Saudi atrocities in Yemen. What I'm saying here is this is another reason, in my opinion, why Pelosi needs to go. We could do with a dim leader not tainted by the past to hit out at all the awful things that Trump is doing, even if they're just fucking even worse cartoonishly awful versions of shit that Obama did. But again, much worse.
Coming down to the end of the show here, before we go, let's check in on that listener rant line.
Hey guys. Hi Dan. It's your pal, Sports Authority. Hey, did you guys catch Mick Mulvaney saying to a reporter the other day that he hopes that people on SSDI receive less benefits? Well, I did. And he says he hopes so. I say, I hope Mick accidentally steps on a rake, which smacks him in the face, causing a bowling ball that is, for some reason, placed on a high shelf above him to fall and land on his head, causing him to fall again into a pile of mousetraps, which caused him to bounce rapidly across gravel and cactus lawn, which then results in him accidentally falling face first into a giant pile of dog shit, and then he's accidentally run over by his own ride mower. Fuck you, Mick. Bye, boys. Have a nice day.
Yeah, well, if that happened, maybe Mick Mulvaney would have different thoughts on cutting SSDI.
Yeah, thanks for the call, George. Very topical.
Yeah.
Very topical.
Rube Goldberg's self-own is what I think George would like to see from Mick Mulvaney.
Yes. That's the show today. Listeners, call a rant line, leave a message. That number is 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jennifer Briney. Check it out at congressionaldish.com and other sponsor, levelnews.org. Listen to this episode and all other episodes of our nightly newscast by going to districtsentinel.com. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Leave a review, give us a rating, tell your friends to listen. Patreon subscribers, you'll hear from us tomorrow for the Sentinel cast. Everyone else, we're back Monday. We'll stay here in D.C., so you don't have to be.